Fight!
Welcome once again to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And this is episode 77, and unfortunately, we are without our third member today. No Nolan.
If you want, Dustin, I can just fake Nolan's voice.
Just do both?
Yeah, I'll say really witty, entertaining things
myself. Right, absolutely.
And then I'll just be like, I have opinions, and right. It'll be Nolan. It'll be great.
Make sure that you kind of don't have much inflection and you're just like,
yeah,
it's Nolan.
Like, life will just be too cool for me and, you know, video games and stuff, I'm great at them and no big deal.
Better than Dustin and Kenny.
And I have a mustache, you know, yeah. No big deal.
Exactly.
It'll be perfect.
Well, we're missing Nolan today.
Yeah, definitely missing him. He wasn't able to make it. He's got a funeral he's needing to attend, and so he won't be with us this week, but did get to play along on the game, and we'll talk to him about it, and you guys can talk to him in Discord about his experiences with the game. But for today, you're going to have to just sit and listen to the two of us wax eloquent about Pokemon Stadium.
As we will. But before we get into the podcast proper, let's talk about collectibles, which I think we can do while we're, you know, thinking of Pokemon Stadium. Did you have a series of items that, for whatever reason, you collected when you were younger? Were there any collectibles? Baseball cards, comics, Cabbage Patch Kids? I know you, Kenny, Cabbage Patch Kids. Was there anything that you, in particular, collected when you were younger?
Here's the deal. So you said baseball cards, and I wasn't a baseball card collector, but I do remember at one point finding, like, a single baseball card and convincing myself that it was worth lots of money. Like, I had one card. And I was certain that this one baseball card I had was of somebody really famous, and that this was like I don't even know how I got this figure, but I had it in my mind that this was like a $300 baseball card. And so I always, like, kept it and protected it. And I'm certain now that it wasn't anything special and I was just a crazy kid, but never collected baseball cards. I did, however, go in way deep during, and this was such a short phase that I don't know if you'll even be familiar with it, though I'm sure a number of our viewers will. The Pogs craze hit my school really, really hard. And right when I was in that, like, prime get sucked into stupid, annoying, like, kid collectibles phase. And so I had Pogs upon Pogs in those terrible, long, round cases. And so many slammers.
You had good slammers. That's what I was.
Oh, I had
ask.
All the best slammers.
Holographic, because I had a couple holographic.
Uh huh. I had them all. The shapes, the holograms, the different thicknesses and weight.
Did you actually play the game?
Oh, all the time. We played it like crazy.
Which is just throwing down slammers to try to flip over the opponent's pogs, right?
Yeah, there was a little more to it, I think, but pretty much it was you were competing to see how well you could flip these piles of.
Right.
Little cardboard discs. I don't even remember specifically, like, the intricacies, but I know we would, like, play each other and, like, play for each other's pogs and keep track of who had the coolest ones, and it was playground currency, like,
yeah,
crazy. And I was a bit of a player.
You're still a player today, Kenny. Let me tell you that much. I was too young to, like, be in the center of that craze. However, they were still around as I got into the collectible era of my life, and so I did have some, but not near as much as I did when it came to Beanie Babies.
Oh, our family kind of did the Beanie Baby thing. I, like, not me personally, but I don't know, like. Everyone I knew collected them, and so we had, like, a family collection of them. I don't even know.
I did Beanie Babies for my whole family. I collected them enough for all of us. Like, it was it wasn't embarrassing at the time.
At the time it was like the coolest thing ever.
But even for boys or young boys,
yeah,
it was fun.
Everybody.
So like I collected, I don't think I've told this on the podcast before. I might have, don't stop me either way. But, like I collected them so much that my family, we bought a dog. It was one of our first pets, and, I absolutely loved the dog, but my mom was the only one taking care of him. No one else would pitch in and do their part. And so my parents decided we were going to sell the dog. So they told me that they were going to do that one morning before I went to elementary school, and I was super sad about it. And so my mom dropped me off, but I guess she felt guilty. And so she came back. I remember getting called down to the office, and she picked me up from class, took me to the store, and said, pick out whichever Beanie Baby you want.
Wow. That was your answer to like childhood, like lost a best friend animal, real life guilt.
Right. Get
was,
one
here,
Beanie
have
Baby.
A Beanie Baby.
I think it was my mom's first like guilt purchase towards me, which I wasn't ashamed by. Good news, I got to keep the Beanie Baby, and we had to buy the dog back. They made us pay more for the dog than what they paid for it just like a week later.
What, you guys just missed it, or you like caved, or what? Why did that happen?
We had already bought the dog. We sold the dog to these people, and then we wanted it back again. Everybody wanted the dog back, and so we wanted the dog, the same dog back, and they made us pay more for the dog than what they paid for him.
This sounds like the plot of a really like mediocre 90s sitcom.
I love that you said mediocre, but that was my life. Beanie Babies were my collectibles, and most kids had some kind of collectible that has probably fallen out of style by now. But do you agree, if Pokemon were a reality, and not a dangerous one, but just some kind of reality, collecting them all would be no fad? Like, it would not go out of style. It would be the most incredible experience out there.
Absolutely. Well, the crazy thing about Pokemon as a fad, not indulging your silly if Pokemon were real, how cool would it be fantasy, because I agree, it would be rad. And considering that Pokemon Go came the closest maybe we've had to like having to go out of the world and collect Pokemon, I'm pretty sure I would be a better trainer than either you or Nolan. But that being said, the fad nature of Pokemon has been absolutely crazy. I don't know if you're around like children at all in your realm of life right now, but, and you know, culturally things tend to be a little bit different in different places, but I think mostly because of Pokemon Go, the popularity of Pokemon as a franchise, especially among kids right now, has gone absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
These things are wild. And right. It was like that back in the day, and then they kind of like petered off, and it's come back with such a vengeance that I think it's more popular now than it was the first time.
And maybe that's a stretch, but it is popular even now, and think how much more so it would be if you were able to take them into battle against your friend's collection. That would be insane, and it's exactly what you were able to do in this week's retro game, Pokemon Stadium.
Overview.
So, Pokemon Stadium came out in Japan first in 1999, and then the following year, in the year 2000, it made it over to the States. It made it over to North America, and it is a strategy video game developed and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. It's the first stadium title to reach us. But did you know this? I didn't even know this, Kenny. It's not the first stadium title ever. There was an original Pokemon Stadium that came out on the Nintendo 64 in 1998, but it was only in Japan.
I only knew that from reading about the game during this week. I hadn't known about it prior to our experience with Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, I had no idea about that.
But was significantly more limited than the experience we get in Pokemon Stadium. So I get why they wouldn't have done a wide release on the first one and chose to go back and release what we know as Pokemon Stadium, their Pokemon Stadium 2, as their, you know, big international release. Because that one let you play the whole entire first generation and just a number of more features that are significantly more robust than the first one.
So the game is exactly what it sounds like based on the title. You battle your Pokemon against other Pokemon in a Pokemon Stadium.
I mean, it's not exactly what the title sounds like. If I heard Pokemon Stadium, I could very much picture like me going into a stadium and getting to battle myself against Pokemon, which would be rad.
No, it wouldn't. What would ability be? Bad pun.
No, like, I don't know. I'd just take a baseball bat and go to town or something.
They're just
little creatures. Have you ever watched the show? No one's even actually afraid of these little pocket monsters.
And yes, some of them are so big and so dangerous that can destroy galaxies.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to like run up to an onyx and start beating on a huge rock.
But you're gonna bat a
thing.
Pikachu into the ground?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a terrible person. So this game takes one single element from the original Game Boy games that was more of kind of like a role-playing game, as a story-focused game, and this like narrows in on, laser beams in on one particular thing entirely and explicitly, and it's the battle, which you get to do in the handheld versions, but this one, it brings it into a whole new three-dimensional realm where you get to see the Pokemon in their full glory and battle them.
Which I gotta say, that is the coolest part in my view of what this game had to offer, was the breaking out the graphics to being, you know, Nintendo 64 level quality. And I thought they actually did a really good job with it. The stuff for the hardware I was working with, the stuff looked good, the animations were great, and like getting that three-dimensional view of a Pokemon battle instead of, it, to my knowledge, everything before this was just 2D.
I believe this was the first time.
You know, your classic actual games were just two-dimensional.
Right. So this was the first time that this kind of thing occurred in the Pokeverse. And so you come into this game, and you've got a few different modes, a few different things that you can do, but you really have two primary game types, and that is Stadium and the mini games. And the mini games we'll talk about shortly, but are a series of maybe four or five different games, I think six actually, that you can play against the computer or against your friends. And then there's your main game type, which is Stadium. And there are a couple of ways to do this. We'll talk about it once again more in gameplay, but you assemble a team of six Pokemon, and then you take them through battle after battle, tournament style. If you lose, you lose, or you can use one of your continues, and then you can try again. And you try to beat all of them with your single team. And if you do, you get a medal, and you can move on. But that's the game. That's the overview of Pokemon Stadium. Now it's time to get into, might I say, the nitty-gritty of Pokemon Stadium in our section called Gameplay.
Gameplay. So you summed it up pretty well, but the gameplay in this game definitely focuses just on the battles. Again, outside of a few really, really basic extra features, you are pretty much going through a series of tournament-style battles in both the Pokemon Stadium and going up against other gym leaders as you're trying to ascend through the gym and, you know, fight harder and harder levels of people and do all of those things. Which makes sense when you think about kind of the point of this game. And that really was taking your Pokemon battling experience and showing it in this new and fancy way. Enough so that we have to mention that the big appeal here is that you could sync this game with your Game Boy games and take characters from those games that you had played through that whole RPG classic Pokemon style experience, and then plop them into this game so that you could actually play with them, either to battle against other people or to take on the stadium challenges and the gym challenges. And that was pretty intriguing.
Yeah, and I think you even understated it some. Like, it's intriguing, yes, but it is the thing that makes this standout. The Absolutely. Thing that makes this game most enjoyable.
Enough so that if the games that this game elaborated on weren't super popular, this game would have been a major flop.
Right.
Just, you know, there are some things that it offers natively. You know, the battling experience is sort of fun, a little bit strategic. You know, you have to learn some of the strategy of Pokemon types versus other types and which moves to use against which enemies and why and when. And so there's some thinking there. But really, that piece of the game is just a fairly repetitive kind of thing. And if you were to take out the experience that people had already had in the universe and the ability to play the game with characters that they had already developed and connected to emotionally and really wanted to see those things on the bigger, cooler screen, you kind of take away the whole entire purpose of this game.
Yeah, so, okay, so if you've owned a Nintendo 64 before, you know that there is a port on the controller itself for a variety of different accessories. One of them is the Rumble Pack, which does work with this game, and so it's the start of the rumbling controllers, which are fairly common nowadays, at least some kind of haptic feedback you still get today.
Absolutely. That was pretty revolutionary then, though. Like, we've never talked about it, but I rocked my Rumble Pack so hard back on the 64
Pack,
days.
I still enjoy it. And on a lot of games, they have where you can take off rumbling because I guess some people don't like it. I've always, always enjoyed that kind of... of feel to it. It doesn't take me away from the game at all. It impacts it even more greatly for me. But they also introduced a new accessory to the Nintendo 64 with this release. In fact, with the Pokemon Stadium game, in the box came a transfer pack. And you take this, you slip it into the back of your Nintendo 64 controller, and then in that transfer pack, you can put one of those original Game Boy games, Red, Blue, or Yellow Pokemon, and you slip that inside, and it is amazing. You can bring your beloved Pokemon to the big screen and see them for the first time in fully rendered 3D models when you transfer your Pokemon from these games that you have built up and that you have spent time on and that you have nicknamed something really stupid, and now you can take them into a legit battle on the big screen for the very first time. Revolutionary.
How did you know that I called my favorite Pokemon something really stupid?
Kenny, I remember on a previous episode where we were asking what each of us named one of our characters, and you were too embarrassed to even share that with us. So I know that you use terrible names.
I literally name all my Pokemon something really stupid.
Like, that's the name? Something really stupid?
Yep.
No, it's not.
Nope, but I wish I had known that we were going to get to have this conversation, because then that would have been cool.
You would have built it all up just for that. You would have gone back to your childhood.
Years ago. Time travel, that's what I would have invested in.
Right, absolutely. Not to kill Hitler or anything special like that.
Right, no.
So, but like, imagine that. Like, you have played, especially if you're a Pokemon fan, you have played these games and you have trained up these Pokemon. And like the television show, one of the things that captured the hearts of children all around the world in regards to Pokemon is not that you could just build up these monsters and battle them. You grew attached to them. Just like Ash Ketchum grew attached to Pikachu and some of his Pokemon. Like, you as a gamer grew attached to this particular team or this particular Pokemon. You really did. And then to be able to bring them over to this Nintendo 64 game and see them in a 3D model and battle them and use some of their abilities, like, that is just... that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was pretty revolutionary. And people responded well. This game was crazy popular. Sold, at least by the metrics, by the numbers, was very popular. Sold tons and tons of games. I think in 2000 was the highest-selling Nintendo 64 game. And people were really hyped about getting to sort of take their Pokemon experience to that next level and bring it to a 3D environment and get to use those Pokemon and battle with them in a different kind of way.
Yeah, so if you don't have the transfer pack, you don't really lose any content. It's just not the same. And there's very little to explain about that outside of just it's not the same. You're not with the Pokemon that you're familiar with. Is what you do instead is you rent Pokemon from the inside of the game. So there's nothing unique. There's nothing special about these Pokemon. And then you can use them for your battle. So Kenny, I hope that you've either remembered or written them down. When you began your tournament this week, what were the 6 Pokemon that you picked for your team?
I'm trying to think the very first 6 I played with, because then as I went back and did different, you know, stadium and gym things, I picked a couple of teams based on what I felt like was going to be the need, you know, more strategic. But I think the first pick through, I just picked some of my favorite Pokemon. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to remember them all. I know I definitely had Bulbasaur in that lineup. I know I definitely had Staryu in that lineup. And I know I definitely had one of the fighting types as well.
Okay, so you but basically on your first play, you just picked some of your favorite Pokemon.
I went through and picked. Yeah, my first play was Pokemon just based on how much I like them as characters.
Got you. Yeah. So my first crew I wrote down because I knew I was going to be recording a podcast over it and I wanted to make sure you're that always, I had content.
You're always so well prepared, Dustin.
It was the following: Gyarados, Gengar, Charmeleon, Wartortle, Exeggutor, and Pidgeotto.
Gross.
What's gross about it?
Listen. If there is a single Pokemon that has ever been way too much hyped forever...
Are you about to say the Charmeleon?
It's the whole Charizard line of Pokemon.
Get over yourself, dude.
It is exactly like everyone freaks out about them. Worst starter and way too overhyped.
Hold on. Okay, did you just talk about Bulbasaur?
What? Yeah, he's way classier.
He's the worst starter.
No.
I'm pretty sure that Charizard or Squirtle are always picked first, and then Bulbasaur, they're like, you're going to have much more of a difficult time with him.
Bulbasaur was always my main go-to, and if I didn't play Bulbasaur, then I went back and played Squirtle.
Well, with my team in this game, I was going for something that was well-rounded, something that would have different types, and it was a really super strong team until I got four or five fighters in, and I faced a Raichu that wiped my entire team. Like, I barely even hit the guy. He kept casting Thunderbolt and would wipe my characters in one or two hits.
Dominated you? Yeah. You didn't have anybody that could handle that type well?
No, I guess not. But like, he would always go first because he was swift, and he just rocked me, completely wiped my team. I went from like three or four perfect games, one where I like lost one of my fighters, and then this one where I just got completely wrecked.
Your entire lineup just got dominated. I definitely, my first couple of playthroughs when I was playing with a just for fun team and hadn't put any thought into it whatsoever, I definitely had a much harder time with the battles. Once I started remembering a little bit more of the importance of, you know, picking correct moves and types of Pokemon and how big a part that played, and started to think those things through and went back and did, I don't know Pokemon like well, but did my best guess at making sure I had a variety of different types, things went much more smoothly.
Yeah. So tell me that you tried at least one of the mini games.
Oh, I played all of the mini games.
Did you really? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. You probably weren't able to play with your wife or anything, right? Because that's...
No.
In part, that's what makes these fun. They're like Mario Party mini games.
But like toned way down and kind of geared to kids really hard.
I think it's even pitched as like the kids zone or something like that.
I think so.
And but still, I remember having a lot of fun with them. I think I played them with my brother and obviously against some of the computers, because I think with each of them, for the most part, you have four people battling. And so there's a few different ones. One, you're a Magikarp and you have to just hit one single button and the Magikarp flops up to hit a counter. But you can quicken that speed and that progression by, you know, timing it correctly. There's a digging one with Sandshrew. There's a mini game where you're a Kakuna and Metapod and you have to hit Harden, or you have to use the ability Harden to avoid...
That one was actually kind of creative.
That one's fun. This boulder damage that's falling on you. I think they're a lot of fun, easy for anybody to get into, but like to...
I
like
started
when you're
out really, really disliking them. And there's still one or two that kind of just rubbed me the wrong way like crazy. They were all really simple for the most part. Once you figured out the mechanics, like, they were not hard.
No, not at all.
One or two took a little more effort or a little bit more realizing kind of how the mechanics worked. But most of them, you could just sit down and, like, dominate the computer on a first playthrough, which is kind of too bad. But if you were playing against an actual person, there's a few of them that would be kind of fun. I will never play the Rattata one again in my life. Because for whatever reason, the fact that the camera like rotated in 3D around that running spinning track really bothered me. I don't know the last time that I've been so like overly upset with something simple that shouldn't actually matter and wasn't a big deal. But it made the game like harder to play, and it was really distracting and for no good purpose whatsoever other than the fact that it was in 3D. And it just, I don't know, it made me a little angry.
And for that reason, you do not give this game your vote for New Game Plus status.
All because that stupid Rattata game. No, but there were some that took a little, you know, strategy, the like sushi eating contest. And there were a couple of sort of intriguing minigames. But for the most part, they were very simple and not something that you'd want to play more than once, or at least not something you'd want to play without somebody to play against.
That's what it is. You definitely wouldn't want to play it multiple times with just the CPU over and over again as your opponents. This is something that you want to sit down with a friend or two or three and I think you'd have a lot more fun then, because although it's fairly intuitive and fairly easy to grasp, when you're you know, competing against other people that find it just as easy, then it's all about timing, it's all about precision, and then you can gloat over your friends or little brother.
You stuffed yourself at three. I would have said the most fun version of this is with four friends, because then your four friends could play these mini games and you could go get like some snacks or something and just eat them while they played.
Yeah, you're a fat kid.
No, I'm just not that impressed with these games. They were fun. Definitely more fun if you're playing them with a person. And one or two are intriguing, but the mini games are not the reason that you're coming and playing this title by any means.
Let me add one last thing before we move into our next section. This is the original 151 Pokemon, so you don't have any of that other junk that came out after. And I know you got offended because I just said junk, but I stopped after 151. I think we all should have. but it's just that original crew, and there is something special that if you, and I don't remember what all you have to do, but I think that you beat the main type, the four tournaments there in stadium mode. And when you do so, it unlocks a special battle against a special Pokemon named Mewtwo.
I think it's top of the gym, not stadium, but okay. I don't recall. I didn't get that far through either of them. But I think it's when you battle all the way to the top of the gym, then you get a chance to battle Mewtwo.
Okay.
But I may be wrong.
I know that there's something that you have to complete to be able to have access to Mewtwo. Once you defeat him, then I believe that you can add him to your party, and obviously Mewtwo is super, super strong.
Yes. I don't know, though, if it allowed you, I don't think it did, to then transfer him, the special character, back over. Most of your other stuff you could, like, things you unlocked in this game and won otherwise, you could transfer back onto your game if you had them. I don't think that held with Mewtwo, but I may be incorrect there. It may have been another way to get it.
That might be the case. One other feature that if you were still playing the Pokemon games is you could use your transfer pack as a safe place to store your Pokemon and items. And so if you needed more room in your inventory in the Game Boy games, you could place your Pokemon or items on the transfer pack, and then you can retrieve them at a later time. Just a really ingenious addition.
Absolutely.
To an already
so
great
neat
game.
To have the ability to do some of that.
Aged.
When it comes to the agedness of this game, you've got to look at the graphics, the sound, you've got to look at the ability to play it today like you would have played it back then. So I think we've got to touch on all of those things, at least in part. For me, I think even today, the actual Pokemon look amazing. Like they put in thought and time and really worked on this artwork. I honestly think, Kenny, that like, Nintendo 64 often gets somewhat of a bad rap. I mean, it's good graphics, right? But it's always these sharp edges, and like, you can tell this is a Pokemon game. You can tell this is a Nintendo 64 game.
Yeah, it has that look.
But when it comes to Pokemon Stadium, I think that there is more... Maybe it's because of the simplicity in the character models already, but I don't get just in the battles that this... You don't get like the bad taste in your mouth, this is a Nintendo 64 game, because it looks really, really good.
No, they did a great job with the visuals, I thought.
The background textures, not so much, if you even remember.
The crowd that's behind you is just this blurry blob of like colors trying to imply
that's all
people,
there is.
And it's terrible.
Just a blurry blob. But what I can say is that then allows you to just focus on what matters most.
Which is the important part, yeah.
Right. It, like, honestly, who cares if I can see the hair follicles of the girl that is screaming in the third row of the stadium, right? Like, I want to see Pikachu in all of his or her glory. Furthermore, every single move is animated, which is like incredible. It's not just some canned response, but depending on whichever move you choose to do, then your Pokemon has that kind of animation.
And creative kind of stuff. You know, like if you're casting Dig, like your Pokemon is literally digging into the ground and burrowing underneath, and then you're seeing that damage move forward. You know, if you're poisoning the enemy or casting something that like affects them and, you know, injects them with some kind of seed or something, you literally see those things happen. And they did a great job of visualizing the things that before had always just been a move, and then your screen kind of flashes.
Right. The thing that I found weak was the audio. Both the music and the sound effects of the Pokemon are all but absent. Like, you don't really get much of the original Pokemon music in this game, even updated. Like, you don't have that nostalgia hit much at all. And then the sound effects are fairly standard all the way through. Like, one Pokemon will have most of the same sound effects as another. They don't have their uniqueness there. None of them say their own names, which, you know, you get in the animated series often.
I also got to say, while you're on it, the announcer that announces the fights was super annoying to me.
See, I think you either love him or you hate him.
No, he was so obnoxious. It was just like repetitive and heavy-handed, and he drove me crazy.
Definitely repetitive. You'll hear him say the same thing over and over.
Yeah, like
and
if
over
you think
again.
The Madden games are bad later on, or any of those games that have commentary,
right?
Like, tone that back to like a 3-sentence vocabulary, and that was this announcer going through and talking about these fights.
Now, I guess the final thing, and probably the most important thing when it comes to age, is if you play this game today, are you missing the whole transfer pack, you know, ability that is really what helps to make this game so marketable and so much fun.
That's where so much of my beef with this game was. To me, all of the appeal of this game, playing your Pokemon against a friend's Pokemon, even playing the mini games with a friend, making it a social kind of game, getting to do the transfer of Pokemon that you already cared about and invested in, and using those Pokemon to go through and do the more elaborate stadium battles and see them and all of those things, those for most of us aren't something that we're going to get in a second playthrough, you know, that's today and looking back in a retrospective kind of playthrough. Yeah. Now, if you actually have your old Game Boy cartridges and those games, and you happen to have this title on Nintendo 64, and all of your friends do, and you invite them over, and it becomes a whole thing, more power to you, and you're probably going to have a fun time, even if it's sort of a little nostalgia-centric more than, like, game-centric. You'll maybe have a fun time, but with everybody else, I feel like everything that actually made this game really successful in its day is just lacking. You're only going in and getting these rented Pokemon to use in these battles. And then at that point, the battles you don't feel invested in because you don't get any of the RPG elements of the Pokemon universe that we're so used to. And you're just battling over and over and over again. And that's something that once you sort of figure it out, it's kind of solved. Like, it's interesting, but you know types and you figure that out. And then you go through the battles and you eventually win and cool. But there's not really any appeal there.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, it's time for us to either give or withhold our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
So New Game Plus status, if you've forgotten since last week or are new to our podcast, is simply our way of saying this is a game that is worth playing today. That even though this game is 15 years old or older, that we think for any number of reasons, that it's worth your time. Maybe it's a super entertaining game. Maybe it's a game that was important enough to gaming history that we say, hey, overlook some of the gameplay and check it out. But it's just a very opinion-heavy way for us to look at these games ourselves and say, should somebody today go back and play this old game one more time?
So it's as simple as that. And for us now in this episode, since it's just the two of us, I think we have to come to some kind of consensus. If we cannot and do not, then we'll ask Nolan as soon as he's back with us his thoughts.
And that is the convenience of there being three of us, is yes. We never run into ties.
Right, right, right. So I had a lot of fun with this game as a teenager. A lot of fun with it even this week. It's, a lot of nostalgia there. Great. I think it's a great addition into the Pokemon series. I always enjoy what Nintendo does with breathing fresh air into franchises. And they really go above and beyond in giving us unique gameplay experiences with their titles. And I think that they get it right almost every single time. They got it right with Pokemon Stadium. It's a fun game that really becomes an endless supply of fun if you utilize the transfer pack and bring over your Pokemon from the original games. All of those nice things being said, I do not and cannot give this game my vote for New Game Plus status. Because if you play today, you will most likely not have the transfer pack, which means a diminished amount of fun and a diminished amount of time invested. As Kenny just mentioned in our section on age, you will enjoy it for a short amount of time. It will be fun, but as soon as you understand it, as soon as you get a hold of it, there's not much more to do. And so if you aren't into Pokemon already, this game's going to have very, very little charm for you at all. If you like Pokemon and you haven't played Pokemon Stadium, one, I would question if you like Pokemon. Two, I would say you really need to give this game a try. I think you would have a lot of fun with it. Even if you today go back and find your Game Boy games and are able to use a transfer pack to bring over your Pokemon. But everyone else, I would encourage you to move on to the next title. I do not give this game my vote for New Game Plus status.
Yeah, I'd go one step further, Dustin, and say that that's only true, that it's worth going back and playing if you're a Pokemon fan who missed it and yet happens to own all of the equipment for this game, which just means you didn't play it back in the day for whatever reason.
Right.
Because I'm with you. Without all of the kind of added intrigue of moving over characters that you've already invested in, I had very, very little emotional attachment to this game. In fact, I can't even go nearly as far as you and say that I had fun this week almost at all. Pokemon titles are often fun. The least fun part of them to me, and there is some fun there, but is the battle system. And when you have a game that's completely revolves, and I know some of that's just personal preference, some people love it, but a game that completely revolves around just that mechanic and take out the ability to move in other characters, it did not interest me in the least. I got in and like won some battles, and then I got in and won some more battles, and then was like, what else is there to this game? And realized that was it. And had more fun playing the mini games that I actually don't overall like than I did even the rest of the game. That's not to say it was a bad title. I'm just saying that I agree with your points even more strongly. If we were playing this game back in 2000 and you were a fan, I would be like, get it, hook your stuff up, go to town, battle your friends, play socially, enjoy this experience. But for a game that we're playing retrospectively, you don't get any of that stuff, and that's the only appeal here. And so for me, this is a title that is not worth looking at from today looking back. So we're in agreement. No New Game Plus on this one.
Yeah. Well, we agree and we apologize, Nintendo and Nolan, if we have offended you. I know that Nintendo listens to this, Mr. Nintendo. So,
yeah.
You may agree to disagree. Some of our viewers sent in some commentary, some of their thoughts this week. A lot of them emailed us, ngppodcast@gmail.com. Antonin was one of those. He said, I haven't written in a long time, so I thought I'd write in today. I don't skip playing the games, just sometimes skip the email part. Well, I'm glad you emailed us. Thank you, Antonin. He said, I enjoyed playing Pokemon Stadium. It's been on my personal list to try it out, so I'm glad I did it this week. I think that the game had awesome graphics. They're done well enough that it still holds up today. I also appreciate the game's tournament style play, but it just wasn't for me. I realized that I really enjoy the RPG part of Pokemon, not the battling itself. So after a short time, I turned the game off and I probably won't return. I love Pokemon. I write regular posts on a Pokemon podcast blog. But this game just wasn't for me. I'd give it a New Game Plus because I think a lot of other people might get more into it than I did.
Yeah, I don't think it was just him. I think it's just a playing it today, looking back, that it's just not going to be as fun as it would be on a first playthrough, you know, bar none.
Yeah, I mean, you two seem to agree together that it just lacked that I don't know, that element that makes it what a good title is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Antonin. Dylan wrote in and he said, I still remember when the N64 Pokemon craze was at its pinnacle. I owned both Pokemon Snap and Stadium, while some other of the game's releases in that time were easy moneymakers and lacked quality. Pokemon Stadium stood apart. It served as a niche for people who didn't enjoy the length and journey of the old school Game Boy games, and it allowed you to get straight into the battles. So when going back and playing it this week, many childhood memories were brought back from my childhood. My lineups always consisted of an evolution of Charmander and Squirtle and Pikachu, because he's strong against water and flying Pokemon. The others I transitioned in and out of, trying to get a feel of how they worked. Overall, I enjoyed the game and think it was amazing when it was released. But I can't give it New Game Plus status. While I think this game was fun and engaging initially, it became fairly repetitive and lacked any story or depth. I think there could have been a happy medium between storyline and action, and I think they missed it. Go play Monster Rancher 2.
Yeah, we did set this game up as a, like, in talking about it last week, as a maybe better Monster Rancher 2, because I was thinking that there were more of those elements of developing your characters in the game and, you know, letting them unlock abilities and some of those RPG story kinds of things. And I didn't see any of that. And you couldn't, you know, you obviously can't, like, breed your Pokemon. You evolve them. And so I was a little let down that we hyped it that way last week.
Hey, so do you agree? Go play Monster Rancher 2?
I mean, I do agree that Dylan doesn't get New Game Plus status for liking Charmander too much.
Well, I'm offended, one, that you don't like the Charmander crew, and then two, that you did not give Monster Rancher 2 your vote for New Game Plus status.
If I had to only give it to one of the two games, I'd have given it to Monster Rancher 2.
Yes. Finally, Dallas sent us an email and he said, my opinion is probably a little jaded because I grew up absolutely loving Pokemon and everything that came with it, like the TV show, card game, and especially the video games. So, needless to say, I love Pokemon Stadium. I got to play this one on the N64 because I still have my cartridge. I also got to transfer my Pokemon over from my red, blue, and yellow Game Boy versions to use them on the N64. I played through some of the mini games just as a refresher and they were pretty fun, but I feel like you could get bored with them after a while. I played through the cups with my Pokemon from my Game Boy games and I made quick work with them. If I remember correctly, the cups are a little more difficult if you rent them instead of using your own. I spent most of my time playing against the Elite Four so that I could get the Pokemon prizes for beating them. You can get Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Charmander, Eevee, Hitmonchan, Hitmonlee, Omanyte, and Kabuto. I kept doing it until I got 3 Eevees so that I could get the 3 different evolutions of Eevee. All in all, I love this game and I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. Can't wait to see what's next.
Here's the deal. Though we didn't enjoy it nearly as much as him, Dallas is a case in point that, experienced in its original setting, you're going to enjoy this game a lot more.
Absolutely.
And so, as a argument for the perfect type case, if you're a Pokemon fan who has all the hardware, go to town. You're going to love it.
Absolutely.
But for the rest of us, so much.
I think that's what we settled on. That's the way to play it. And if you're a Pokemon fan and you have the equipment, this game is for you. And it's incredible and it's fun and it's genius. Great job, Nintendo. If you are lacking either of those, especially if you're lacking both, then this game is not for you. And sadly, that's the majority of us today in 2017.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts. As always, we'd love for you to send in your commentary over our retro game of the week. It's always, always so good to interact with you guys and find out what you're thinking about the game. And you can actually do that even in real time.
Yeah, we would love to have you guys come join us throughout the week if that's what you're into, by hanging out in our Discord channel. You can also send us an email or hit us up on Twitter or any other social media. All of the links for that can be found on those sites. We are at NGP Podcasts everywhere, /NGP Podcasts, ngppodcast.com, whatever. If you try and look for it under that title in any of those places, you will track us down.
Your best bet might be to Google search NGP Podcast, and you'll find all that you need to find about New Game Plus. There is no random selection this week, which
it always
I know
makes
that's,
me sad.
I know that's your favorite part, Kenny, but I've got a good reason. We have a guest that is joining us next week.
Sweet.
And his name is Fiesel, and he is a gamer, a speedrunner. Fiesel is a huge part of the speedrunning community. He's deep into gaming, plays some great, great games. And the game that he selected for us to play this week is Zelda 2.
Interesting. One of the less popular early Zelda titles, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But not one that I've played personally, so it'll be a fun one to get to go through with fresh eyes and play and form some of my own opinions about.
So in honor of Breath of the Wild, we will be playing Zelda 2 this week.
Yeah, the timing really is perfect.
It is. Find Fiesel on social media, and you can go and tweet at him and let him know that you're excited about him joining us on next week's episode. Until then, you can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Music, any podcast provider. Make sure you subscribe so you are the first to get new NGP episodes. Patreon.com/NGP podcast is our behind-the-scenes extra content source for all of our viewers that want to join the family, take the next step, and actually support us. Weekly, we have additional content for those particular viewers.
Also, big thanks to our producer-level patron supporters, Zion and Bradley. You guys are the best. Thank you for all of your support in enabling us to do what we do well and to continue increasing the quality of our content and bring bonus content forward when we can. You guys are a big part of making that happen, and we appreciate you.
Join us next week when Nolan returns and we have our special guest Fiesel on. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still going to exit by not saying my name and saying I know Nolan will be very hyped that we'll be playing a Zelda title.
Nolan's rolling his eyes right now, and this has been New Game Plus.